Whether you're returning or joining us for the very first time, thank you very much. This is Season 3 of the Push Off Podcast.
Season 3!
Set them up and knock them down till the early morning light. Till you're laughing on the ground, drinking every single night. Where we're going, we don't know. And where we're going, we don't know. Where we're going, we don't know until we know. Where we're going, we don't know. And where we're going, we don't know.
All right, everybody, welcome to Season 3 of the Push Off Podcast. We're back. It is your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend while getting you ready for the next. I am one of your hosts, Scott Hogan, sitting across from the table from me, as always.
Dan, more seasons than Pushing Daisies, right?
Dan, we're back for Season 3, our third year doing this podcast. I said it's, you know, getting you caught up from the previous week, but we got to get you caught up from off season.
Yeah, we've had almost 2 months off, man. That's
from
all
the past 2 months.
They've been in training camp. We've been sipping Mai Tais, put our feet up, enjoying the summer. Enjoying the summer breeze, because now it's time to get back to work, Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
It's football work.
Football work. Work has begun for us for a new season, and we're here to discuss it with you guys. Thanks so much for coming back.
I'm sure our bosses at our full-time jobs are like, wow, Dan and Scott have been really productive this past month and a half. Like, that's all about to change.
That's right. Fall's right around that corner. Feel that get that smell in the air. It's pigskin time.
No more productivity at work.
No.
All football.
And thank God there's something to watch on Sundays coming up now. Oh, man, did it get boring.
I can't just wait for HBO at 8 p.m. We got to...
Oh, no.
Come on.
That's right, and that's a plenty to talk about. But let's start here, Dan. This is our third season doing the Push-Off Podcast.
Yeah.
If there is somebody joining us for the very first time, good place to pick up. You're getting ready for the brand new year. We're going to get you through it from week one to the Super Bowl, and then some as we go on for drafts and... analysis of the rookies coming in, the division breakdowns. We love doing this. What is our show about? What is the Push Off Podcast about?
Our show is the sport from the fans' perspective.
That's
We've
good.
Got no connections to the NFL. We're telling you exactly what we're hearing, what we're seeing. There's no insider information. We're getting it as we hear it, bringing it to you in a more consolidated format. And you're going to get the raw shit.
Mm-hmm.
That raw shit. Because I don't give a damn about what anybody else is going to like. Nobody can pull my credentials.
Nope.
You know, it's impossible. We can tell you exactly how we feel about a situation that the NFL is trying to spin a particular way, and we'll tell you when somebody sucks. You know, we could have told you about Mitch Trubisky 3 years ago, but nobody listened.
We definitely have our opinions. We are fans first and foremost. Myself, Vikings fan, Dan.
Dallas Cowboys for life.
So you're going to hear that in our voices. We're going to be a little more upbeat after wins, a little more down in the gumps when they lose. But that won't be this year.
No.
They're all set to run the table.
16-0, baby. Both of us.
We play each other, which would be interesting. But
15-0-1.
There it is.
That's all I'll accept.
We do the show once a week. Unfortunately, once a week is all that we have time for at this time. So it's jammed into a show that can go a little over an hour, but it's going to come out most of the time Wednesday mornings for you. So check it for right there, all the places you get your podcast.
If you want more Push Off Podcast, link, rate, subscribe, send it to all your friends. We'll get sponsors. This will become our full-time job.
Yeah.
And then we'll get you a show every day if you want it.
That'd be wonderful. I'd love to wake up and just do this. We can be foul-mouthed and opinionated.
The fuck are you talking about, Scott?
But that's another great thing that separates us from the NFL and the ESPNs and Fox Sports ones out there, is that you're getting a clear cut directly from the horse's mouth.
And not Shannon Sharp.
No, Shannon Sharp's not on this.
If you're watching Shannon Sharp,
talking to Skip.
Yeah, you're also getting it from the horse's mouth, but not authentic.
We just want your attention. And as long as you're willing to give us that, we're going to talk to you.
We're old whores.
About NFL football. We are old whores when it comes to NFL football. Dan, let's get started on everything we missed.
Let's do it.
As we are recording this, unfortunately, we got to get this done earlier on Tuesday than Hard Knocks allows us to see it. So as soon as we're done with this, we'll be editing, posting, and watching Hard Knocks for episode 2. So the only thing we have to go on is what we saw last week.
And we're getting this info about AB during training camp, which
yes.
is going to make for a great episode tonight.
And so we can't wait to see that. But unfortunately, we can't talk to you about episode 2. But episode 1, the beginning of the Oakland Raiders, the autumn wind.
is a Raider.
That's such a great fucking poem.
And it's awesome that they start the show with it. I was like, goosebumps.
This is great. That old NFL film shit was the best. I don't think there's ever been a better run of sports montage videos than the shit the NFL films did in the 70s. Everything was original, was creative. The autumn wind is a Raider, blustering aimlessly.
There was even a little bit in the first episode of an interview with John Madden and the seven-man sled. Yeah.
Every offensive lineman needs to just have one of these at their house. Boom. You know, if you're a big, fat coach, you know, you just sit right up on there, but you got seven guys pushing it along. You can ride this baby all day.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Thank you. I've never done a John Madden impression before.
Let me try mine.
We start out there, boom, and then they're all pushing it down the street, trying to get to the end zone.
That's pretty good. It morphed into Cosby there.
Yeah, he's just kind of a little more. It's an older John Madden. You're the youther.
Hey, I'm giving him a little pep.
We get John Gruden, and we're already seeing his relationship kind of with
his
these.
Speech, though, to start it was great. He's like, so it's been your dream to be in the NFL. We're not talking about dreams. I'm talking about nightmares. Yeah. I was like, fuck, John Gruden.
I'm in a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm in a nightmares. I'm here to take dreams away. I was like, you are crazy, and I kind of dig it.
After that speech, a lot of the shots of him was like his back of the head talking to players.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell like how much of this he's serious, when he's joking. There was a lot of the rookie, Jonathan Abram.
Yeah.
And that conversation he has where he's like, well, but I need you to do this and then not smack players on their ass, which Jonathan Abrams was doing, which to me kind of liked it.
I love it.
Yeah, I know you.
Because Abram was a hard-hitting safety coming out of Mississippi State, who we loved. We had a first-round grade on him. We really liked the guy. There. But, yeah, you can't be doing that shit in practice. You really can't. You're going to get fucking fined, man. And you're going to hurt your own players. But yeah. Gruden being like, cage it back, but hold that shit in the cage.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to let that shit out. That's why you're here, is to thump and to set pace.
I wondered if Gruden was saying that with a little smirk, like how we know what we're talking about, because I didn't see his face in that interaction. And Abram not taking him seriously.
No.
Which was like, I think you might need to, though. He's a head coach, and you are hitting his players on the ground.
I mean, I like Abram. One, he's a natural horseman, which we learned. And two, he seems like a definitive like leader on that defense already. He seems like he's a pep guy. He seems like he's an energy guy. He's hitting. He's making plays. He's fast.
Hard Knocks likes to put rookies on the tape, sure, but most of the time it's rookies on the bubble of making the team. This is he was in the beginning of the second round or first round?
First round
pick, one of their three.
Yeah, he, Ferrell, and Jacobs were all first round picks. I haven't seen anything of Jacobs.
No. Outside Jacobs is even on the team. I hadn't seen Ferrell in the first episode either.
He was in the horseback thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So they were riding around.
You got to put Old Town Road behind this.
It's like, well, you did it.
They did. They had a lot of Derek Carr. Obviously, we're going to get the QB in this scenario.
Gun show.
And then a little interesting relationship with his children. It seems like he's very much grew up in the, I'm a competitor. You're a competitor. I'm going to beat you. I want to beat you.
Yeah.
And he puts that between his boys. Like, go fight him for it. Go get that ball then if you want it.
I mean,
go,
you knew that's how he grew up.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I caught. And that's Derek Carr.
You really can't fault a family for doing that when your family produced, what, an NFL first overall pick and an early second round pick? Clearly there's some talent and some competition there in that family bloodline. I'm all for it.
Yeah, Derek's like, I beat up my brother David all the time. You beat up your brother. Go at him.
And David's like, please don't touch me. Please, yeah, God.
I've had enough.
Keep the thunderous fists away.
We got a look of anybody who's watched Last Chance U.
Oh, yeah.
A quick look at Ronald Ollie, who was a fan favorite when he was on Last Chance U. And then there was a little bit of him on this show. And you could tell why they shoved it all in there, because he was then quickly cut.
Yeah. I mean, he needed to be cut. Like, if you're going down an early training camp with an injury, I need to see bone. Like, I need to see some shit. I need you in the middle of an exercise to go, and, like, come up fucking lame. You can't be like, my foot hurts.
Yeah, you're not in a long contract. You're not a starter.
Yeah, I'm not doubting Ronald Ollie being injured. Everybody in the NFL gets injured. But you got to give it a better show.
He was always a guy, too, that seemed to be dragging his feet in Last Chance U.
Oh, absolutely.
And never, like, agreeing to the coaches. So, oh, this is more of the same. So, yeah, he's gone now. And then finally, the one character of this show that I have brought up till now, because there's plenty to talk about him, A.B.
Arriving via hot air balloon.
Just, which was another thing we knew about before seeing the episode, but it just led you to like, oh my God, I can't wait for Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and he's never going to, those feet are never going to heal because that guy just cannot stop.
So he is, yeah, he's injured currently. I don't know when he'll be healthy again. There's all this talk about these injuries to his feet. Dan, how did AB injure his feet?
AB entered a cryo chamber and got frostbite on his tootsies.
So cryotherapy, machine mishap, I guess, wore the wrong shoes.
He didn't wear shoes.
Just didn't
he
wear
He just walked
them.
Into the cryo chamber and exposed his skin directly to a liquid nitrogen, like, rinsed floor.
Oh, God. So you see him run around there. He talks about how he can only go one speed, and that's the fastest he goes. And it's like
Ricky Bobby.
Okay, I get that, but yeah, you can barely, you can tell he's in pain.
Yeah, it hurts, man. Just chill. Yeah. Just chill the fuck out. Like, go get a pumice stone and dig at it. You'll be fine.
Best thing to do is keep quiet in this point and just get ready for the regular season. But yeah, did he not?
Shut it down, man. You're a veteran. You're a veteran. You know your route tree. No one is ever going to say a negative word about your ability to play wide receiver. Just chill. Just relax.
But instead of just relaxing, he made a big issue this week about the helmet change, which is something we covered on this podcast, so I'm very glad that we took the time to talk about, oh, yeah, they're changing these helmets, and there's a lot of players wearing them.
And he couldn't recertify because it's over 10 years old. Now, they may have a way around this.
I'm hearing.
They discontinued his helmet in 2011, which means there is still a version of his helmet out there that can be certified.
He's looking for a shut type of helmet. He's like, after 2010.
Yeah, it has to be 2010 or 2011, but there's not that many around. So I have a feeling like, you know, if I was a multimillionaire, I'd probably be able to find this helmet. Mm. If I'm like at Play It Again fucking sports or anything like that, I'm digging through all my shit and be like, maybe I can get him like three or four of these things, send them out there.
Yeah. So the report on this was that he was so angry he couldn't use this helmet, a helmet that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers used to, mm-hmm, and they seem to enjoy it too. I don't know what's so special about this helmet that they like, but
good peripheral vision. The field of vision on that helmet is supposed to be really good.
You feel like, though, the one like Manning wore when he was playing, where it's like cut out on the sides, that would be a better field of vision for it, but apparently this one's even better.
Who knows?
It's a preference thing, and as any competitor, they want the leg up on everybody, and maybe this helmet AB is hoping that, you know, that was it. Antonio Brown believes this helmet is what was making him just a little bit better receiver than these guys.
I like the expression, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. If I'm a guy like AB, I'm trying to keep as much shit normal as I can.
True.
I had a whole career with Ben Roethlisberger throwing me the football, playing in the Pittsburgh offense, knowing that offense back and forth, being able to make audibles and quick reads. I don't have that here.
Everything's changed.
And now I'm changing my helmet, too, and my feet are injured, and, like, all this shit is changing on him. He's like, well, why are you fucking with my helmet?
So he's going to sneak on the field with painted helmets that he brought from home. Just silly stuff.
I hope he's wearing
now
one of those, like, commemorative, like, the things you put the ice cream in. I hope that's what he wore on top of his head, like a fez.
There is so many jokes out there on the Twitter and everything else. People redoing the Madden cover, and he's wearing a leather helmet on there. Steelers fans have to be loving this right now.
Oh, it's great.
This is the guy. This is the guy everybody wanted, huh?
Madden curse, baby.
Yeah, and then
boom, cursed.
He did not win his argument against the helmet thing. He's got to change it. It seems like he's moving on now as of recently. However, reports come out here that Hard Knocks and people have been looking to talk to him about this stuff, having a hard time finding him there in Napa Valley where the Raiders
he's
have,
wine drunk.
Yeah, have the reports. Apparently, he checked into a hotel under the synonym? Is that the
pseudonym.
Word? Pseudonym, thank you, of Mr. Big Chest. I knew you didn't catch that news yet. I wanted to surprise you with it.
Still the best nom de plume, if you will, belongs to Mike Vick. Do you remember this?
Something Mexico.
Ron Mexico.
Ron Mexico.
He used to check into hotels so he could have sex with women and give them herpes under the pseudonym Ron Mexico.
And they were starting to sell those jerseys people would request.
They had to shut it down, the number 7 Atlanta Mexico jerseys. God,
oh,
it's so great.
Man. So what we're probably going... it's going to be very interesting to see how much they're going to lean into Antonio Brown and all this craziness that happened this week in tonight's All or Nothing as we record this.
I don't think he's
going to
be too
night.
Heavily featured, honestly.
I don't either.
If you can't get a hold of the guy, you know, he's just going to be like a fucking... It's going to be Godot. Like, this whole Antonio Brown Hard Knocks Godot. Is Godot. He's just like, when is he showing up? What's he going to do? How is he going to be?
I think we're going to see, some head coaching. The coaches discussing, what is he doing? Where is he now? And then some, the voiceover guy just being like, and Antonio Brown did not show.
Yeah.
But
still,
they played,
can't find him.
Yeah, they played the Rams in a joint practice and a game, I believe, for week one of the preseason, which the Raiders won 14-3, so we'll get a little look at that too tonight. Those are the things we know.
And the Rams don't give a shit. Like, no one gives a shit about the preseason.
You sure they put up 30 points and put a Blake Bortles out there? They don't give a shit.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. No one gives a shit.
Right. No
one
gives a shit.
Should Todd Gurley take a snap?
No, I don't, I'm pretty sure Todd Gurley didn't touch it. And that's the other thing, too, is like, oh, do we feel bad? We only scored 3 points. Like, Jaguars got nothing week one. Like, yeah. do you start to worry a little bit?
Well, it actually kind of helps you a little bit if you go out and get beat pretty good, because then you get to get in the room. Because the whole thing with training camp and preseason is it's not about getting your veterans right.
No.
Your veterans are trying to get right, trying to learn the system, trying to get the reps they can in practice like they do every week. It's about your second string, third string guys, putting them in situations, live game situations, where you can see how they behave and react. After a game where you get fucking beat, you get to go in the film room and be like, you, motherfucker, who last year told me, oh, if I was in that situation, I would have made that read. Here you are in that situation, fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to actually chew out second and third string guys that you don't get to do that to during the regular season. This is the number one time to do your installation and coaching for second and third string guys. First string guys are going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
They got it all off season. They're going to get it all through the season. This is the primary time for second, third string, bubble roster guys to get really intense, good coaching.
We'll see a little bit more of the starters here this coming weekend for week two or three, if you count.
It's two. Yeah. It's the one Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Only two teams get five.
Broncos, Falcons have to play five. But so week two, we'll see a little bit more of them. Week three is usually the one where the starters play the most.
Stress rehearsal.
And then the bubble guys the rest of the way. And
week four of the preseason is like my favorite week.
Okay.
Because it's go get a job. That's what it is.
That's great, and that's true, and I like watching stuff like that to see who's going to make the cut or not. But at that point, and it's a Thursday before or a week before, like, it's the Thursday before, first of all, college football will start that weekend, and then the pros the following week. It's really hard for me to get that excited for that final game when I know those real ones are right there in the horizon.
They're right there.
They're peeking up. They're going, hello.
I spend the first 3 weeks of the preseason with my butthole puckered.
Yeah.
Because I'm just praying for no injuries.
I know. That's the biggest thing.
By the time we get to week four, I don't give a shit. If you're out there and you're playing week four, I don't fucking care about you. Like, as a person, I'm sure you're fine. I'm sure you're a nice guy. But, like, I'm not. If you blow your ACL out making a great play, I'm like, yeah, damn. Well, that guy's going to get an injury settlement or he'll be on the IR and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not going to affect my team detrimentally. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that week.
So we've already had preseason week one. This is a nice segue into what did we see from week one. I don't have much. I was writing down from the Hall of Fame game because that was the first one they showed us on TV, and I'm like, oh, I need this like it's a fix. Broncos won it 14-10, but again, nobody wins in
preseason.
Joe
Flacco didn't even put on pads.
Right.
Matt Ryan didn't even put on pads. Julio Jones didn't even put on pads.
But Vic Fangio, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, coached with a kidney stone. Not yet passed.
Now, that's some fucked up shit.
How about that? On the sidelines, they didn't even give him a booth to sit down with in the top. He's pacing around, and he's like, I'm on some good meds. I'm fine.
Oh, he probably couldn't feel anything below his belly button.
Oh, man.
I would bet money he couldn't feel below his belly button.
It was a low-scoring game, bunch of penalties. There's going to be a lot of penalties in preseason. We've already noticed the refs like to throw the flag, so they'd be like, this is where we could look at, and then they pull it back.
It's preseason for everybody.
That's right. Let the players play. I was impressed with the broadcast in that game specifically, pointing out like the rookie guard Reisner for the Broncos, Lindstrom for the Falcons. Like, it's been a while since I'm like, here's the guard they're excited about.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, we're talking about the guards.
This is my favorite time of the year to a degree. Like, you know, I love when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. It hasn't happened in a while, but up until then, I love when people take the time to talk interior guard play, interior line play. I love that shit. And during the preseason, especially this year, because we've had so many good, like, so many good guards, so many good tackles, so many D tackles and DNs come into the league this year in the first and second round, you're going to hear their names a lot more. They're going to get a lot more reps than they're going to get along the year.
A little look at the brand new QBs that come in there. Daniel Jones had a good first drive. Everyone got really excited about
five
that.
5 for 5.
Dwayne Haskins, not as good.
Not supposed to be.
Right. Couple of bad interceptions. God, I could see that arm talent. The guy's all that arm talent, but I'm like, ooh, where's that accuracy right now? But
yeah.
It's early.
A lot of those things for Haskins wasn't necessarily accurate. It was bad reads.
Okay.
Trent Williams had been out. So, you know, with Trent Williams out, with no offensive line to speak of, he played with the second string.
True.
That's tough. You know, he's being forced to get pressure a little bit faster.
And they're not going to give him plays to turn around and hand the ball off. They want to see him throw the ball. So
let that shit rip, man. Get a feel for the tempo of the game as best you can here in the preseason. If your rookie quarterback looks really good in the preseason, worry. You know, because it means they're not challenging him.
Okay.
You know, if he looks bad in the preseason, that's fine.
Yeah.
He's a rookie. He's supposed to. You hope you don't see him for a little while.
Well, Kyler Murray, who's going to be in there right away. Now you didn't get a lot of playing time in the first week, and that's on purpose. They know they want to go forward with him. But I want to see this offense open up, and I know they don't want to tip their hat at it yet, so we're going to have to probably wait for the regular season. There was a nice little, fake handoff, race to the corner, then throw it as a screen type of play to Larry Fitzgerald. Got blown up in the play, but I'm like, that's something new. That's something I haven't seen.
New wrinkle to fuck your own shit up. That's great.
What's Kingsbury doing now? That kind of stuff's kind of neat. And then the only other thing I had from that first weekend of a preseason was Damon Sheehy Giuseppe.
Yeah.
This story was a fun one. Browns wide receiver who apparently slept outside of their training camp in Miami as a homeless person would.
Oh, yeah.
Just to try to sneak his way into the practice facility. Apparently lied about knowing a specific coach.
He Willie Mays Hayes that shit.
Yeah, to get in. Yeah,
Willie Mays Hayes. He major leagued the Cleveland Browns. Isn't that fucking great?
This is what Willie Mays is. I'm the fast guy. Let me in here. And that's just exactly what he did. Fast guy lied his way to get in there. And then in the game, they gave him a punt and takes it back 85 yards to the
house. He was a great D3 kick returner. He was really, really good. But that's the thing. If you're a kick returner, there's going to be a spot for you in the NFL if you can break one.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get himself a roster spot just for his kick return abilities. That's it. And he turned that thing, and I saw some fucking jets on that dude.
Well, if they can make him tackle too, then he can be a gunner on the other end, and that's how you get a spot, especially if you're an undrafted, nobody knows you're a rookie. Win the special teams. That's it.
Yeah, and people forget how much that helps. If you're an undrafted rookie free agent, that actually helps their salary cap to hold you.
Yeah.
To hold on to you. To be like, oh, great, this guy's costing us literally nothing, and he's giving us valuable playing time? Great.
You're on.
Yeah, welcome aboard.
Plus the name is hyphened Sheehy Giuseppe. Just wonderful.
Yeah, he's named after an Italian transsexual, so, you know, his family's very proud of that.
All right, that's preseason. There's more to come. I'll be watching it because I need it, and that'll be this
gotta have
weekend.
It.
We'll keep up on what's going on here. Let's talk a little bit about trades. There's a couple trades that happened. The biggest one that's happened in our offseason is Duke Johnson, who wanted the trade, is now going to Houston for the Texans. This is interesting because this is one that I brought up. Not in terms that I knew Duke Johnson was going to the Texans, but that the Texans needed another running back, another body back there.
Yeah, we talked about it during the State of the League that, he's gone. He's got to be the fuck gone.
Miller was the only guy the Texans had, too, so it was a nice fit. And yeah, Duke Johnson, seeing all the running backs that were building up in that room, decided, I want to go somewhere else.
And they cut Dante Foreman, too, which was crazy to me. I was like, oh, crazy. The Texans have no depth back there. This was a must trade for the Texans.
Part of me wondered if Foreman was gone because they knew they were going to move on Duke Johnson. It was around the same week, but yeah, so that move happened. The Browns get a 2020 fourth rounder, could become a third.
Up to a third.
Right.
Which is still pretty good value for Duke Johnson. I thought they were going to maybe get a fifth.
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah.
So we see how that goes. A weapon out of the backfield, as he's always been.
Yeah. This is a good trade for the Texans, especially if it only winds up being a fourth. And you couldn't have the guy sit around Cleveland, especially with that running back room, the way it was going to be.
Yeah.
You needed somebody else to become your third string back.
It gets a little thin. I guess you're going to see a lot of the running back you love there in Cleveland.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of Nick Chubb here. Nick Chubb. First couple weeks, probably the first 8 weeks.
Until the rejoin of Hunt.
But, I mean, that's just the way that offense is going to run. I think they're going to use Nick Chubb pretty frequently. Like, he's going to be a three-down back for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Vikings made a trade here this week. They gave a fifth-rounder over to the Ravens for Kerry Vedvik, a kicker slash punter, special teams footman.
Dan Bailey's getting cut, isn't he?
It doesn't look good for Dan Bailey right now. The Vikings haven't said much about it. He just showed up at practice the other day. But the rumor is that the guy could play kicker, the guy could be punter. I don't know what's going to happen.
Either one would be fine. You need help at both positions now.
It seems interesting that they made this move, and I can't be just because they, you know, we love what Stan Bailey's doing, but we are going to trade for this guy.
Yeah, we're going to trade. Oh, Dan, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Our relationship's going great. I've also decided to get a side piece.
Yeah.
It's like, generally those things are not together, not cohesive.
So it's something I'm looking at. So we'll see how that works out. And then the only other one I kind of want to talk about, it wasn't even a trade, it was a cut and then a signing, Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels left the Packers.
Shocking.
Lions picked him up right after that, so he stays in the division. He'll line up with Snacks Harrison on the other side next to him.
Good luck fucking running on Detroit this year.
Yeah, it's a little scary, especially Flowers out of that line and everything else they're doing there. I was like, oh, good. Mike Daniels is gone from the Packers because he usually destroys us, and he hasn't gone far.
Oh, God, yeah. still going to see him twice a year.
That's right. And then the Packers, I guess that means they like Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You're going to pay Mike Daniels an appropriate amount of money for the skill level of Mike Daniels.
Yeah.
But then if you have Rashawn Gary on just a sweetheart deal and he's getting enough production, who, let's remember, Rashawn Gary was one of my elites.
I remember.
Going in. No one else agrees with me, but I had him rated as an elite, so I also have him picked to be my defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see if that's why they were like, we're good without Daniels. We'll see. Let's talk about the unfortunate injuries here. These are what ones that have occurred since before we've done this, so some of these might be weeks old, but we'll get through. In the preseason game, Jermaine Kearse, who was just signed by the Lions for this year, broke his leg.
Terrible.
Probably means he's done for the season.
I mean, it's going to be hard to come back from something like that. It's a tib fib.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
Yeah, I mean, worst case, like best case scenario, you're IR to return, but you probably won't be back till week 10 or 12.
It was just blocking guys trying to tackle the running back and misses and kind of rolls up on
just
him.
Just doing a good job
there.
Yeah, doing what he's supposed to be doing, and it just doesn't work out for Jermaine Kearse ever.
AJ Green, this was a big one that happened weeks back. Torn ankle ligaments, is going to miss the start of the season. The blame is going, though, to Dayton University field that was in bad shape, that the Bengals had a training setup there due to NFL's 100-year anniversary, which is all over this season.
Sure, but at the same time, like, you got to check that shit out beforehand. Like, if you're the Bengals, you cheap motherfuckers, you're probably like, ooh, I like the condition of these practice fields. We should have some of these back in Cleveland.
Maybe it's that. Maybe, too. Yeah, or Cincinnati.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
You're just assuming this.
Yeah, I'm just thinking
bad
shitty
team
it's
in Ohio. Yeah, it's but it's Cincinnati, too, now.
It's basically Kentucky, but north.
If the Bengals are there, now Dayton is close, but maybe they took like a cut here in terms of like, we want you to go practice in this old field that, you know, used to be part of the NFL, 100-year anniversary. And
AJ Green's getting into that stage of his career where he's fragile.
Yeah.
A little fragile.
So he had minor surgery, and yeah, he's not going to play anymore this preseason, of course, but it also doesn't look like he'll be ready to start the year.
No.
And that's rough for the Bengals.
Let's just shoot the Bengals. Let's just call the Bengals what they are, a rebuilding team.
They need to be.
This is actually a good thing, you know, for the long-term health of AJ Green. If he misses part of the year, he's probably going to be like, all right, you're not going to re-sign me in all likelihoods. I'll be a free agent next year. You're not going to franchise a 31-year-old non-speed wide receiver. He's going to go somewhere else. I hope he's not a Patriot. But N'Keal Harry looks like he's kind of covering that position for them, so it's fine.
It'd be nice if AJ Green goes somewhere, yeah, where he can actually be a weapon and be helpful for a team's run. Let's talk about some Giants injuries. Plenty of these.
Please.
To their wide receivers. Corey Coleman tears his ACL. This was a guy that we were very excited with coming
out
of the league.
Push-off favorite, Corey Coleman.
And he's just disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, it's his own fault. He's stupid. He's got to be stupid.
Speaking of Hard Knocks, we got to see him.
Yeah, I got to see him get cut last year.
I want out of here. I'm not playing with the first team. I don't want to play. And they're like, okay, bye.
Peace the fuck out.
And that was the end of him. Now he goes to the Giants, and now he's done for the season again. Mm-hmm. Not looking good for Corey Coleman's career. Just not getting off the ground. Sterling Shepard fractures his thumb.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, and especially as a wide receiver, kind of need those thumbs. So we'll see how he does, but he's not playing right now either. And then another one that's not an injury, but I'll just go it to the suspension. And it was held up today. Giants wide receiver Golden Tate has got a substance abuse on there, and he's suspended for
Yeah, because Golden Tate's shooting blanks, apparently. This is the funny thing, is like, he's clearly juicing. Like, he's obviously juicing, and that's fine. I don't give a shit. But he's like, no, this was for, for fertility treatments. That's what it's for. It's like, so you're telling us you're infertile.
Yeah.
Is what you're telling us with your second wife after you banged Russell Wilson's wife.
Oh.
To break. That's the old rumor, is that he banged Russell Wilson's wife. Yeah.
It would make sense because he was a productive wide receiver for Seattle, and all of a sudden, no, we're sending you to Detroit.
Yeah.
And now he's off again. Okay, we'll get to more of those suspensions.
If I had clout at work,
yeah,
and one of my coworkers happened to bang someone I was even friendly with, let alone my wife, I'd be like, let's get this fucking guy out of here. Like, this guy cannot be trusted. Remember Delonte West fucked LeBron James's mom?
Oh.
Sorry to mix sports here, guys. But yeah, LeBron James is like, I'm LeBron James. What are you doing? Stop. Just anybody else.
These reports of the relationships that go on between there. Oh, we got a little baby.
Got a baby cry.
Got a little baby cry. That thing's happened. A lot of that it misses the news because they try to like brush it under the rug. Oh no, it's all happening for other reasons.
Yeah,
but no, and that's what we find out. Okay, more to injuries. More on injuries. Nick Bosa. The big star, Nick Bosa, we're not going to see him in any preseason because he's got an ankle injury. Isn't that unique, a Bosa with an injury?
Yeah, shocking, shocking. These Ferrari people.
Also, Derrick Henry is going to maybe miss a few weeks with a strained calf.
I don't think you're ever mad when a running back misses preseason time because you're like, I don't fucking care.
Well, when they're saying that, hopefully they're saying could miss 2 weeks. I'm hoping that is just preseason and not into the regular season.
You hope so, yeah. Derrick Henry being gone is a real blow for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, especially a team that wants to lead with running the ball. The Broncos picked up Theo Riddick this offseason, and now he has a slight shoulder fracture after the first preseason game. He could miss a few weeks of the regular season. They're saying 2 to 4.
But the good thing is he's not exactly like – he's not Royce Freeman, and he's not Lindsey.
Right.
So he's just a guy they're bringing in for churn and for a little bit of stability.
Yeah. Yeah, so he'll be okay there too. And then I guess the only other injury I want to bring up, assistant now head coach Jim Caldwell for the Miami Dolphins on medical leave himself.
Yeah, which is kind of an odd thing.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a death. We forgot the wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers passed away kind of suddenly.
Yeah.
This was like after week one. So he was on the sidelines coaching him up. And so you could see him on the sidelines. And he looked like he was animated.
Wide receiver coach.
Yeah. Daryl Drake passed away this weekend. He was only like 63 or 64. It's fucking crazy.
He was young. Yeah.
And 62. Shoot.
Yeah. And then right before the break, let's talk about some retirements. The bigger ones that I have written down here. Glover Quinn is going to retire after 10 years in the league.
Bummer. I think he still had some juice. He could have been fine.
He's been a solid guy. Detroit his whole career.
Yeah.
Which is impressive to go 10 years with one team. Mark Sanchez finally calling it quits.
Yeah.
For now. I don't know.
He's
Redskins lose another quarterback.
Yeah, he's off to Pedophile Island and really going to enjoy himself there. Fucking tweens.
I don't need to know. And then finally, Ryan Khalil, who did retire as the Panthers center, is now back and signed with the Jets.
Which is weird to me. The Jets have had a great center history.
True.
You know, he's just adding into that great pantheon of Kevin Mawai and Nick Mangold and now Ryan Khalil. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, these are all-time great centers. Interesting, yeah, Ryan Khalil, who was on a Panthers team that, yes, bottomed out last year, that he would decide, no, the Jets, that's my place to be here.
I think you don't want to leave with that taste in your mouth. I think you wanted a final chance at a run. And you got to feel like a young Sam Darnold is going to benefit from a guy like Ryan Khalil making line calls for him.
It's not unknown for a player to retire and then be like, damn it, I miss it, and I want to be back.
Hey, so. Jason Witten did it. He took a whole year off.
Yeah, glad you're back, Ryan Khalil. We'll watch you another season.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, guys, we got a little bit more to discuss here.
But don't you dare bring your brother Matt back into the league. Don't you dare do it. Is he still around?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to be on tackle for, I think it's Houston.
No, he can't be real.
He's on the roster at least right now.
God.
We'll see if he makes the team.
Take him with you to retirement.
Folks, as I was saying, we're going to come to a break. We will be right back to discuss the remainder of what we're getting you ready for preseason action and the regular season on the horizon. This is The Push-Off. Sticking with us here at the Push Off Podcast. We're in the second half, returning from the break, which means it's time for the 2-minute no offense. Is it not, Daniel?
Because no offense, but none of these games mattered this week.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. So,
all the preseason games are in our... No. That's not.
You know who was inaccurate as shit in preseason, though? Jared Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Josh Allen. Jared Allen was also very inaccurate. I saw him hunting.
Josh Allen for the Bills.
Josh Allen, God, he was all over the fucking place.
You have to say now, Josh Allen for the Bills.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen for the Jaguars.
Yeah, quarterback, Josh Allen.
There you go. It's preseason. No, but at this time, we usually do the 2-minute no offense. So if you're joining us for the first time, this is all those games that we really don't want to spend too much time on.
Oh, God, no.
They'll get put in this section right after the break. But no, let's talk about who got paid, because a lot of players got paid since we've last been on.
Cash money dollars.
That's right. Let's start with the Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas becoming the highest paid wide receiver in the league now. 5 years, $100 million.
And he deserves all that fucking dough.
He's one of the top receivers in the league now. So
sneaky.
Yes.
Sneaky fantastic. Like, yeah. People forget how fucking good he is because they're like, Drew Brees is so great. Drew Brees is so great. Fuck it. Michael Thomas is one of the reasons why he's so great.
And Drew Brees definitely made careers out of wide receivers there in New Orleans his whole time there.
Colston,
but now,
yeah.
Marcus Colston comes
to mind. But Kenny Stills has been pretty solid.
Sure. But I think what we're realizing here, and when you watch the Saints now, is with Drew Brees on the twilight of his career, Michael Thomas would be doing this with anybody. He's always open. He's one of the first guys they look to. He has monster games all year long.
Yeah. Drew Brees is very lucky to have Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas is very lucky to have Drew Brees. That's when you get the best combinations. Like, Marvin Harrison would have been a good wide receiver. Jerry Rice would have been a good wide receiver. You get lucky when you also get a really good quarterback.
Yeah, when the best guy's throwing the ball. Another highest paid position is safety for Titans, Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard gets 5 years, $70.5 million. It's $31 million guaranteed.
Who? Says Deion Sanders?
Yeah.
He has no idea. But Kevin Byard's a really good safety. That's the strength of that team is their defense, and their safeties really set that up for them. So I think that makes sense. You know, he's not too old. He was a guy that was on kind of a sweetheart deal. So this is the first, like, big money contract he's getting in his life.
We brought him up a lot year one of the Push-Off 2 years ago. He had a couple of multi-interception games in a row, I feel like, too. So he's always been a contributor and kind of a quarterback of that defense, a defense that's changing now under new coaching. So,
he's been too good. You can't have a guy like that just fucking, you know, chill.
The other extensions I wrote down, Robbie Gould's going to stay with them 49ers after all of his I want out talk.
Well, he wants money, too. Like,
he got it.
Yeah. If I worked as a sewer cleaner, I'd want out. But if they paid me $1.5 million a year, I'd be like, these sewers will never be cleaner. I will happily do that. I won't do it for long, but I'll do it for a year for $1.5 million.
That's surprising coming from a millennial.
I mean, I
want to do something I like. No, I'm giving them.
And then I'll have
time.
I'll do a startup.
Falcons had a couple of extensions. Their defensive tackle Grady Jarrett, 4 years, $68 million.
Deserves this. It's going to take him to his age 31 season, I believe.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's right about the time when you're like, hey, we got to make a decision on this guy anyway. So fuck it.
And then Deion Jones, 4 years, $57 million, $34 million guaranteed for those Falcons.
Defensive captain calls the plays. Really missed him last year.
Oh yeah, love Deion Jones. And then finally, Tom Brady. Tom Brady got a 2-year extension. He's getting $23 million this first year of the new deal, which adds up to $5.5 million per year in cap space, apparently, the way that they set this up. To put this into just a corresponding, like to give it a little advantage of looking at it against another contract, $28.3 million per year is how much he's getting, which is interesting because that is 28-3, the Super Bowl 51 score. I
don't think.
I do.
I don't. Think, you think it was that was petty?
28.3 a year. Where do you run? How do you hit that? Especially Tom Brady. You can get more than that. We're talking about some of these quarterbacks asking for $40 million. Also, Garoppolo is making $27.5 million a year.
I think he wanted to make more than Garoppolo. I think he's like, yeah, fuck it. Give me more than Jimmy G. That's all I want. Just give me more than Jimmy G. People forget that Giselle is richer than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got money. He's got dough flying out his butt.
Dan, 28-3. Oh, take that, Falcons. All right, and then there's the players that want that money, that have been asking for it, and will not go play until they get it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, Dan?
I don't think anybody on the Cowboys needs an extension badly.
Everybody does. But it begins with Ezekiel Elliott, who has not shown up to camp yet.
I'm fine with it.
I guess he's practicing in Cabo, right?
So he's in Cabo.
He's working out there.
Hey, the last time he came back from Cabo, he came back in great shape and hit the ground running, and he had an awesome season in his second year. So
okay. They do say, though, there was a deal on the table that he has walked away from already.
Sure. I mean, it's just negotiation, man. There's a couple weeks of this. I think he'll be ready for week one.
He's the only one holding out, but you guys are also talking to Dak about an extension, too. Dak turned down $30 million. He asked for $40 million. We'll see if they settle somewhere in the middle there. You're expecting him to?
I'm expecting him probably to be underneath Russell Wilson's contract. Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
Right.
Dak Prescott is not a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I would not be surprised to see Dak sign a three-year deal that's actually kind of similar to Kirk Cousins.
I'm surprised you didn't throw in that yet.
What?
Dak is not a Super Bowl-winning quarterback yet.
Sure. I mean, he better be.
You just moved on.
He better be.
He's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
If he's not a Super Bowl winning, if I decided that he will never win me a Super Bowl, I don't sign him for a dollar.
Sure.
You know, if he's never going to win it, I hope he will. Really do.
And then Amari Cooper, his contract coming up soon too for you guys?
I'm letting him play out the year.
Okay.
I'm letting Amari play out the year.
You let Amari play out the year, see how he does, see if it wasn't just a fluke. Do you think you can get all three of these guys under contract?
You got to remember, I got Byron Jones, too, that's coming up on a contract. I got to renew Lael Collins. I got a bunch of starters that I got to get signed, and I might want to extend Jalen Smith before he becomes so expensive I can't get a hold of him.
And the defense is your guys' hook to hang your hat on right now.
Yeah.
How much can it remain that way if your running back and your quarterback want the top bill?
If you can find a way to spread the pain. A little bit. Spread the pain a little bit. The CBA just keeps going up and up and up.
That's how that song goes, right? Spread the pain away?
Yeah, spread the pain away. Pray the pain away. I'll pray as much as I can. But that's the issue. Is you got the CBA going up. You got the salary cap going up every year. You're kind of hoping.
You're holding your breath.
You're holding your breath, and you're like, well, maybe we'll go up another 10%. Maybe we'll get that money somewhere. But everybody's spending crazy money on quarterbacks. Dak's going to get that money. Zeke is looking at, I mean, he's got two more years under contract.
Mm.
Does he deserve to get paid more? Absolutely. Was he going to make like $7 million this year? Yeah, he was. That's pretty good for a running back. I don't know how many more years Zeke has, especially at the level he's going, and he knows that too.
Yeah.
Time to get that money. I understand exactly where all these guys are coming from. I want them signed. I want them signed long term, but I don't want to break the bank.
That's the fine line we walk as fans. Let's go into some other teams and their woes. Melvin Gordon, he's still holding out.
Melvin Gordon makes sense. He's in the last deal of his last year of his deal, and you know, if the Chargers take a step back, it's really going to hurt him on the free agent market because he does have some injury concerns.
He wants a trade. They need him, I think. You got Austin Eckler back there, sure, but after that, I don't know the rest of this running back crew.
There's not as much of a market for running backs, especially running backs that are demanding big money.
I still think Melvin Gordon is a top 10.
Yeah, he's a top 10 running back, but how much is that worth?
Right. No, you're right. And everybody shares the backfield anymore, so there's not a lot for the bell cow of Melvin Gordon. But him and Ezekiel Elliott are trying to set that market, and that's what all the other running backs are looking at. What are they going to get? Trent Williams, as this stuff keeps going on for the Washington Redskins, you brought up earlier they didn't have him for week one.
Yeah.
They don't have him for week one because he seems to have an issue with Washington's medical staff.
He's never coming back.
Yeah, that's what he's kind of said.
This is the same shit. Suwak Cravens came out as well, and he was like, he's like, this is some of the shit, the reasons I left is these motherfuckers are dishonest. That training staff is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And they're all guys that are underneath Dan Schneider. Dan Schneider runs that team like his own little fucking, you know,
that
banana republic.
Yes, is really falling apart. As we're watching the Raiders on Hard Knocks, and they've been a front office, it's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's kind of shifting over here to the Washington R-words.
Washington's always been that bad.
Yeah.
This is just now going like, wait, what? Your players won't play for you because they don't trust the training staff? Jesus Christ, how deep in the weeds are you, Dan Snyder?
Yeah, it doesn't look good. So the talk is, can Trent Williams be traded here? He is a 31-year-old guy that has only played a full season twice his career. The last time was 2013. They want at least a first-rounder and some more for him.
Not going to get a first-rounder, but you can get rid of Silverback. And God, Trent Williams is a really good fucking left tackle. He's really good. But if he does not want to play for you, and he's willing to hold out and never play again,
yeah,
you got to get something.
Could there be a rumor here? Let me lead into the last holdout I have of a team that desperately needs a left tackle and has a pass rusher that is holding out himself, Jadeveon Clowney for the Houston Texans.
God, I think that would make a lot of sense. But you got to remember, they traded for Dwayne Brown, too.
Dwayne Brown's
still trying to become their left tackle of yore.
Yeah, but we know, as we talked about the Texans in our deep dive, that they still have problems with that offensive line. I think they're going to ask for Howard to start, their rookie.
I mean, he'll start on the right side, which is not as bad.
Right.
But that's okay. I mean, I don't see that trade happening because I don't see them giving up Jadeveon Clowney for Trent Williams unless there's more coming back from the Redskins.
Yeah, there'd probably be like a little bit extra happening there, but
The Redskins, you've got a new rookie quarterback. Sure, as much as you'd like for him to have a premier left tackle, if you're saying, hey, we're not going to start him at all this year, you're not going to trade for a defensive piece that would make your defense better long term. You're trying to get your offense secured so that your young quarterback can become better long term.
Well, it sounds like he's not going to have Trent Williams, at least.
No, absolutely not.
Yes. All right, moving on. The only other things let's talk about, some suspensions. We already brought up Golden Tate's suspension, but here's a few more.
For shooting blanks.
Wide receiver for the Browns, Antonio Callaway. Oh, boy. Let's go back to Hard Knocks again last year as he was pulled over for weed, right?
Oh, yeah, getting arrested for residue.
And here we are with a substance abuse for him, and he's out 4 games.
Well, good. I mean, Antonio Callaway was kind of a psychopath.
I guess par for the course then for there. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, there's enough wide receivers on the Cleveland Browns. You're going to be fine.
Seahawks, Jerron Reed is suspended 6 games. It's a personal conduct policy violation back from 2017 when no arrests were made.
Which is so, like, it's so infuriating Tyreek Hill shit.
Yeah.
Because Zeke and Jerron Reed both had less evidence and no history and
no
got suspended
arrests.
More games.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
From 2 years ago, too.
It's so inconsistent. The NFL's so inconsistent on this shit, it drives me insane.
We've talked about this, I think, in our State of the League. We discussed, like, look, either you guys are the moral police, which is ridiculous, or just leave it alone. Just ignore it, leave it alone.
Just leave
it
the fuck
shouldn't
alone.
Be your pie to put your thumb in.
Yeah, because they keep fucking this up. They're like, Tyreek Hill is going to kill that kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to kill that kid, and he's going to be on the Chiefs team heading into the playoffs when it happens. And they're going to be like, how could we have known? It's like, are you fucking stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tyreek Hill should not play in the league. Absolutely shouldn't play in the league. And he didn't even get suspended.
Nope.
It's insane to me.
It's all done for Tyreek Hill. But Taylor Lewan is suspended now 4 games for failing a drug test.
Yeah, I'm sure he's juicing. You see the neck on that fucking guy?
He was the best guard in the league.
Oh, tackle, yeah.
Or tackle in the league without all of this this cheating with the drugs. But, oh, here we are.
Dude, I mean, he's fine. He'll be fine. He'll bounce back.
So he'll be out this first 4. Let's talk about some suspensions between our guys. I'll start with mine. Holton Hill suspended 4 games for substance abuse.
Smoke
Oof,
weed
that's
every
rough.
Day.
But it's more rough when you think he was already suspended for 4 games for PEDs. So now Holton Hill's out half the year, 8 games.
Yeah, he don't give a shit.
You loved him coming in the league, but this is why he was undrafted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Skills-wise, Holton Hill is right there, but you can't miss a half a year in football as an undrafted free agent. But that tells you how good he is in practice. They didn't cut his ass right away.
Ugh, we're going to have to just chain him into the training room, into the locker room, and only release him when he's ready to practice and play. Oh, boy. And then finally, your guy, Robert Quinn, suspended 2 games. It's saying PEDs. Now, I looked into this, and is it not seizure medicine?
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing.
Is that what he's saying?
Here's the other thing. I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, well, he gets seizure medicine, and then they had this one thing that was mixed in, so it tainted his pills. And it's like, dude, I don't fucking care. You know my feelings on veteran guys taking PEDs. Go nuts. You're missing 2 games. He hurt his hand. He might miss those 2 games anyway. That's fine. It's unfortunate for Robert Quinn. He's not going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think it's going to hurt the Cowboys terribly coming out the gates.
If that's the reason why, if he's telling the truth and it's like, I need this to help with seizures, that's a little ridiculous, NFL.
It's not that the medicine that he took was exempt or banned. They said that the place where he got the medicine also mixed this banned substance, and that's how it got in his system, which is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just talk about a little bit of more training camp fun that we saw, and we'll wrap up this first episode of Season 3 of The Push-Off.
Oh, boy.
We're getting closer and closer to the games that matter, so we're excited to be back with you guys for another year, for year 100 of the NFL. I mean...
Not of The Push-Off.
If nothing else, I think The Push-Off starting 2 years ago is building up to this moment.
Yeah, we were very much geared towards... Year 100.
As we talk about, you know, running backs can start immediately. Quarterbacks need a few years in the system. Podcasters need about 3 years to hit that nice, smooth, golden.
Beautiful, beautiful stride.
That's right. Let's talk about, okay, so some fun things in training camp. When Jalen Ramsey showed up to training camp, he showed up in a Brinks armored truck.
Pay that man.
Time to make that money.
Pay that man.
We talked about Antonio Brown showing up in the hot air balloon. Hand that down, too.
So good.
Just fun. You saw that on Hard Knocks, too. Le'Veon Bell, who is back. He's going to play. We get to watch him this season. Aren't we excited? On the Jets, sure. But we'll still get to watch him.
It's unfortunate.
He apologizes to all the fantasy owners who drafted him last season.
Aw. Good for him. Good for him. It's not his fault.
He was sorry, guys.
He's like, hey, pay me that money or I'm not playing. He was honest the whole time.
He wants to make sure you take him this year. Where would you take Le'Veon Bell?
Second round, early second round.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the league. You know, if it's a 12-man league, I'm taking them 12.
Okay. All right. You know? And then the Dolphins with Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the way in the QB room.
Not for long. Josh Rosen had a really good, really good preseason game. I know these don't matter, but he was running for his life.
Yes,
which
he
that
was.
That fucking Dolphins line is atrocious. I hope they get that thing fixed. But he was making sharp decisions, sharp throws, making good decisions, looking like a potential starting quarterback.
I'd hope that a first-round drafted quarterback, sure, not drafted to your team, but I had a feeling he was going to go to the Dolphins, could win it in a brand-new team against another QB in there for the first time outright in training camp. And when we're hearing Fitzpatrick, it's kind of surprising until you think, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzy's so smart. He's so smart. He learns the system so well. He makes good decisions, but... Just from an arm talent standpoint, from an accuracy standpoint, I think Rosen's going to beat him out, especially when we get to week three.
If he doesn't, it'll be Fitzpatrick's eighth different franchise to start for.
That's crazy.
And then that's...
Started as a Ram, undrafted out of Harvard.
A quarter of the league. He'd be a starter for
insane.
If he reaches for Miami. All right. Another one here. Steven Jackson. We love Steven Jackson. He got signed a one-day contract with the Rams. And then, boom, got randomly chosen for a drug test.
Well, that's better than what's-his-nuts, Eric Reed, who's gotten popped 3 times this league year.
Yeah.
They are trying to get Eric Reed out.
And that's ridiculous. Yeah, the Eric Reed thing is not... I mean, I feel like that Steven Jackson got called in there and was like, oh, sorry, see everybody? It's totally random.
Totally random.
There's no reason why we'd go after a guy who's just signing a one-day contract.
You know Steven Jackson's like... I'm going to retire right now.
Yeah. And then this guy, Eric, I'm looking at my list. Reed, why don't you come in pissing this cup?
Yeah, third time in a row.
I don't believe it. All right. And then let's talk a little bit about, because we didn't get a chance to, All or Nothing with the Carolina Panthers. You watched it?
I did. Watched the whole thing.
Something to do in July when there was no football, and they put that on Amazon Prime. I like this show, and then when we played with the Panthers, we remember their season last year. Started 6-2.
So hot.
Ended 7-9.
Yeah, real bad. Fell completely off the fucking.
Won the last game of the season after the streak of losses to the Saints, who were playing for nothing. Ugh. But what I saw in this, Cam and his style. There was a lot of Cam in his style there.
Never wears the same clothes twice.
The shot of him in the with his own personal tailor, and he's quoting Deion Sanders. The you know what? You look good. You play good. You play good. They pay good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that saying.
Eat good. Live good. Live good. Die good.
These shows, I guess it's NFL Films.
It has
to
be.
So NFL Films maybe is around all the teams, and that way you don't get a rumbling of like, well, who's the team for All or Nothing this year? Oh, surprise, it's Carolina Panthers. It'll be out in a couple weeks. But does that mean NFL Films is going to every quarterback's tailoring events and following around these players?
I don't know how many quarterbacks have tailoring events.
True, but you get what my point is.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think there's probably more of this than we're even, like, I would love to see 5 years from now, they're like, a release of all the old NFL films.
Yeah.
Like, there's an All or Nothing for five or six different teams. They might be doing two or three teams at a time.
Here was an NFL Films where Ben Roethlisberger just went into a bar and slowly drank a beer quietly by himself. We're just filming it because it's NFL Films, and maybe the Steelers will be All or Nothing next year.
Who knows?
We've got that footage. Yeah, I guess if that's what they're doing, that'd be a very big surprise, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
But why would you pick the Panthers?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It was still fun to watch. Cam, I thought, was a character. Dante Jackson. Dante Jackson was a big one in there.
Dante Jackson, don't take coaching.
Yeah, Dante Jackson getting defensive, if you have a little twist at the words there.
True.
I liked him, what I saw of him in his rookie year last year. You were a little less impressed.
Well, I felt very vindicated by
what
I saw there.
Because
I was like, this guy does not take coaching. He doesn't watch film.
Yeah.
They were doing exactly what I talked about in the scouting. I was like, this motherfucker doesn't watch film. I can see from the film that he doesn't watch film. And then all of his teammates are like, you need to watch film.
You need to be doing this stuff. And he's like, man, get off me. I'm hearing it from this guy. I'm hearing it. This guy's like, why do you think you are?
Yeah, why do you think you're hearing it from me? Like, you know, if somebody's like, you got a booger on your nose. Yeah, okay. A bunch of people have already told me I got a booger on my nose. Get the booger off your nose. Everyone can see it. Just move on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the problem with him. And then Greg Olsen's character in this one. Interesting.
Old white guy.
Yeah, and I think we got a little bit of Greg Olsen being like, oh, the cameras are on? Oh, I'm going to say something funny. I'm going to do a little thing. I'm going to talk about this song being played.
He's an old whore. He's an old whore and a broadcaster. He's going to have a good broadcasting career.
And then he's coaching his little kids' flag football league, and he's like, we like to have a lot of fun. And most of the shots are him just berating the kids.
Oh, yeah. He's a bad coach.
Calling out like real plays. And these are seven-year-olds.
Chill. Chill, Greg Olsen.
But poor guy with his broken foot, and how often that happened to him, that's where you felt bad for him in the show. A little bit living through his kids.
If he was a horse, he'd be shot. That's the one thing I keep coming back to with Greg Olsen. Shannon Sharpe lives in fear of that.
And then we saw the coach firings and stuff in the middle of the season. The defensive coordinator
had to
staying, just looking over his shoulder. Not getting the play calls anymore. But that was All or Nothing with Carolina Panthers. That was fun. Guys, get a chance and you want to do something on these last few Sundays with that real football. You can put that on an Amazon if you got the Amazon. All right, Dan. Last few things here for the show. Week one. There's already a report as to the game that the A team on CBS will be announcing. That's Jim Nance and your boy Tony Romo.
Antonio Ramiro Romo.
They will be announcing the Titans at Browns game week one.
Lee.
Does that not just show you maybe
parody, baby?
And I feel like maybe there's a new America's team this year with these Cleveland Browns.
No, yeah, because they're like
Heartland of America,
shitty, and cocky, and it's not going to turn out well. Great, can't wait.
this is a fun one that you'll hear. John Mara's 7-year-old grandson, and when asked who his favorite Giants player was, do you know who he said?
Saquon.
He looked up at his grandpa and goes, "Can I still say Odell?"
Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Right in the heart.
Get that, John Mara. Deal with it.
Ugh.
Or is that Gettleman's fault?
Yeah.
I think he's share that.
He's
point.
Like, I still love McAdoo. It's like, oh, God, you're disowned.
All right, Dan, let's leave you with what I like to do, the crazy stats.
Yeah, crazy stats.
Crazy stats.
It's been weeks since I've had a crazy stat.
I'm sure you studied then. All right, here we go. It's a question. Who is the only QB to throw for over 4,000 yards in each of the last 8 seasons?
Each of the last 8 seasons.
And he hit 4,000 yards all of those 8 seasons.
I'm going to say Matt Stafford.
Oh, you're close with the first name.
Is it Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
Wow, yeah. I mean, he's just been steadily good.
But this is the reason why he's the only one that hit it for the last 8 years. Breeze and Stafford missed out just last year under 5,000. Breeze missed it by 8 yards.
Ugh.
Just like he missed the MVP.
Oy.
Yes. Tom Brady missed in 2016 due to the suspension, due to Deflategate. Yeah. That's the only time he's thrown for under 4,000. Rivers missed in 2012. And then also we've got tons of QBs under 30 years old who haven't played 8 seasons, yeah. So they're not.
Dak has done it 0 times.
Right. So there's not a lot going in there, but there you go, Matt Ryan's only went for 4,000. Okay. Hey, this is our first one of the season.
Yeah, I got
we're
a
Matt. Preseason 2.
I'm halfway there.
I'm bubbling a little bit in my words. We got a little crying baby, but we are back and it feels good. It feels right.
The baby's going to grow up. you're eventually going to get function in your mouth again. It's gonna be great.
yeah and then when the baby's old enough, we'll just put her on the mic in place for you. She'll
be ready to go. She'll be cursing up a storm.
But it feels good to be back, and thank you guys all for joining us here for another episode of the Push Off Podcast. We hope you're in it for the long run like we are for full season. We'll be starting up the year here very soon, putting our picks in.
Can't wait.
One.
We're going to have some videos this year.
Oh, damn.
Going to have some videos explaining concepts. So if you guys are unfamiliar with concepts in the NFL and you want to sound smart in front of your friends and you want to be able to understand what a cover two is, what the difference between a cover two base and a Tampa two cover two is, we're going to explain all that here in some videos coming up.
It's about content. We're going to give you that content.
Content, baby.
Yeah, keep making it. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so on our website, thepushoff.com. That's got everything there, social media. You want us to push your products, we'd love to do that for you this year. Get some attention on that end. And
trying to get sponsored by Bennigan's.
That's right. And even if another podcast, you want to do a little co-action here.
Come on.
Let us know. We do the show every week. Catch it where you caught this one here on Wednesdays. We are part of the Universe Head Family Network. All of the great Universe Head Family shows. A lot of them coming back for new seasons themselves. So check them out there at universehead.com. Thank you for the Limbos letting us use their song again for another
Drunk
year.
On Pop.
Drunk on Pop. That's what you heard at the beginning, what you'll hear here at the end. Dan, I think that's all I got here.
Scott.
Any parting words of wisdom.
So good to be back. Soon the games will matter. Keep watching your rookies. Keep watching your bubble guys. And this is what preseason's for. Watch that coaching, baby.
That's right. And check it back here as we'll get you caught up on what happened preseason week 2. Hopefully not a lot of injuries. I'm going to knock on wood on that. I want everybody to be healthy this year. But thank you guys for joining us. No injuries to you guys at home either.
Vocal cords feeling good. We're fine.
Be healthy and happy. All right. Thank you for joining us. I'm Scott.
And this is Dan.
You have yourself a great week. We will see you in the next one. This is The Push Off.